Hello, once again, this is Dr. Phil Fernandez, the founder of the Institute of Biblical Defense and the Academic Dean of Farrison Theological Seminary. Today's lecture is the eighth lecture in our series on the cults, and we're going to be discussing Baha'ism and Rosicrucianism. Baha'ism and Rosicrucianism. We'll start with Baha'ism. Baha'ism began in Persia, which is modern Iran, over a century ago. Mirza Ali Muhammad, let me repeat that name, Mirza Ali Muhammad, in 1844, announced that he was the Bab, B-A-B, that means the gate. He announced that he was the Bab, or the gate, and the forerunner of a manifestation of God. Mirza Ali Muhammad, in 1844, announced that he was the Bab, the gate, and the forerunner of a manifestation of God. He died 6 years later. Now his follower, the follower of Mirza Ali Muhammad, his follower's name was Mirza Hussein Ali. He claimed to be this manifestation. Despite the fact that the Bab had stated that the manifestation of God would not come for 1,000 years, but his follower, Mirza Hussein Ali, claimed to be this manifestation of God. Now, this follower of the first gentleman, the follower's name, Mirza Hussein Ali, claiming to be the manifestation of God, is known today as Baha'ullah. Baha'ullah, which means the glory of God, claims to be the manifestation of God. He spent most of his life in prison for plotting against the Shah of Iran, the person who was the Shah at that time. And in 1863, he declared himself to be the promised Mahdi, M-A-D-H-I, Mahdi. I used to know an Italian kid named Mahdi. Mahdi. M-A-D-H-I, which we would pretty much translate Messiah. 1863, Baha'ullah declared himself to be the promised Mahdi, which is a progressive revelation of God. There's many different manifestations of God from Abraham. Abraham was a manifestation of God. Moses, Krishna, Buddha, Zoroaster, Jesus, and Muhammad. Let me give them to you one at a time real slow again. Each one of them was a progressive manifestation of God. The further you get, the more the likeness of God you come up with. So it's a progressive revelation of God. Abraham was a manifestation of God. Moses, Krishna, Buddha, Zoroaster, Jesus, and Muhammad. Now Baha'ullah comes on the picture as the next manifestation of God. Now Baha'ullah claimed to be the comforter that Jesus Christ promised in John chapter 14, verse 16. Of course, in that passage, Jesus was promising that the Holy Spirit would come, who came on Pentecost, 10 days after Christ ascended to heaven. But Baha'ullah claims to be the comforter of John 14, 16, and he also claims to be the second coming of Christ, which obviously the scriptures teaches is the return of Christ, not Baha'ullah. And so Acts chapter 1, in that chapter we see that Jesus, the same Jesus, shall return, not somebody else professing to be him. Now, he died in 1892, so Baha'u'llah, claiming to be a manifestation of God, the Comforter of John 14:16, and the second coming of Christ, he died in 1892. Now, his son, Abdul Baha, brought Baha'ism to the U.S. in 1912. His son, Abdul Baha, brought Baha'ism to the U.S. in 1912. In Wilmette, Illinois, the Baha'i Temple was built. It's worth $2.5 million. $2.5 million temple in Wilmette, Illinois, the Baha'i Temple. The leadership now belongs to the National Spiritual Assembly. The National Spiritual Assembly, the new leadership of the Baha'i Faith. I don't know if you're familiar with the singers, Seals and Croft. Their music, both singers accepted Baha'ism, and there are two Baha'i songs. One of them is We May Never Pass This Way Again, and then another song, Year of Sunday, which talks that one line, and it says, people return to the tree of oneness. And so those are the two Baha'i songs, but they both singers, Seals and Croft, accepted Baha'ism. Now they have about approximately 4 million followers worldwide. 4 million followers worldwide. And their worship is similar to Islam. Their worship is similar to Islam, the faith of Muhammad. They have 4 million followers worldwide. And they have 70,000 followers in the U.S. 70,000 followers in the U.S. Their goals are to unify mankind into one religion. Their goals are to unify mankind into one religion, a one world government, and to bring on world peace. Very, very compatible with the New Age movement. Their goals are to unify mankind into one world religion, a one world government, and to try to bring on world peace. By the way, I stated earlier that the Mirza Ali Muhammad, who called himself the Bab, announced that he was the forerunner of a manifestation of God, and that he said that the manifestation of God would not come to 1,000 years later. Don't quote me on that, because it gets rather confusing as they go on. He might have been stating that the manifestation of God was going to come soon, and it might have been the son of Baha'u'llah that usurped the authority, and Baha'u'llah might have been the one to say that, no, the next manifestation isn't going to come for another 1,000 years. I'll have to look into some of the documents that I have and check it out a little bit further. So don't quote me on that portion. Somebody claimed to be a manifestation of God when there wasn't supposed to be another manifestation of God for 1,000 years. So there are inconsistencies within it. It's something I'll have to look further into. So don't quote me on that one portion there. It does get rather confusing, though, with all their claims of manifestations of God and such forth. Well, let's talk real briefly about some of their beliefs. First is their belief that the Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ, that he's a manifestation of God, and that he's the return of Christ. Take a look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And in this passage, starting with verse 9, Acts chapter 1, verse 9, it reads, and after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was departing, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Who does it say is going to return? This Jesus. The same Jesus that ascended to heaven is going to return, not Baha'u'llah as the return of Christ. Look at John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. Verses 1 to 3. Jesus is speaking. He says, Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, Jesus Christ said that he will come again. Not Baha'u'llah. He will come again. And of course, the other passages spoken about the other comforter that would come, that's the Holy Spirit that is that came on the Feast of Pentecost. Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24 warns us about false Christ coming into the picture. Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said to them, See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Then verses 23 to 31. Then if anyone says to you, Behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. If therefore they say to you, Behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go forth. Or behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, the return of Christ is going to be obvious. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. And so Jesus Christ says, Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let somebody say, Oh, the Christ is in the inner rooms. Oh, the Christ is over here. Oh, the Christ is over there. Don't listen to them. When Christ returns, it's going to be as obvious as the lightning striking in the east and flashing to the west, because the sun will be darkened, the moon won't give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, everyone will know the end of the world has come, and then Jesus Christ will return amidst the clouds with all his angels and all his power and his glory. It's not going to be some guy in an inner room, in an inner chamber, that everybody gets to pass by and take a quick look at the supposed return of Christ to the planet Earth. So Baha'u'llah is he refers to himself as the return of Christ or a manifestation of God. Jesus Christ says, no, you've got to honor Christ as you honor the Father. John chapter 5, verse 23. Christ is referred to as one of nine manifestations of God. One of nine manifestations of God. But let's take a look at the Gospel of John. Remember in Titus chapter 2, verses 13, the Apostle Paul refers to Jesus Christ as our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Scripture is very clear, there is only one God. Paul says in Colossians 2, 9, For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. But look at John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And look at verses 17 and 18. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In other words, if you don't trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, you're lost, period. So Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's only through Jesus. Jesus is not one of nine manifestations of God. He is the only man who is God. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Not anybody else. I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Buddha came before Jesus. Confucius came before Jesus. Many Jewish false messiahs came before Jesus. Jesus says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. And so Christ makes it very clear, he alone is the exact representation of God. No one else manifests God as only the Son himself does. God was manifested in the flesh. The third belief of Baha'ism is that all faiths lead to God. All faiths lead to God. I already quoted to you from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is no other way for man to be saved except through Jesus Christ. Also look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And that reads, and there is salvation in no one else. Not in Baha'u'llah, not in Muhammad, not anyone else except Christ. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And then besides that, too, take a look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 23. So many times people say, well, I don't believe in Jesus, but I believe in God. Well, what does 1 John chapter 2, verse 23 say? Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. You cannot have God the Father unless you also accept God the Son. If you reject God the Son, then you reject the Father who sent him as well. A fourth teaching of Baha'ism is that Baha'ism is the ultimate fulfillment of Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, Zoroastrianism, Hinduism, and Christianity. So Baha'ism is the... It took each one a step further. Remember, the Christianity seems to... Christianity fulfills Judaism, and then Muhammad taught that Islam fulfilled Christianity, and now the Baha'is say that Baha'ism fulfills Islam. But look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Is that what Christianity taught? Did Christianity teach that we should await a further development, that in the future a greater manifestation of God than Jesus Christ would come? Is that what the Bible teaches? Or does Baha'ism contradict Christianity rather than fulfill it? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. when he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You see, it's stating that in the past God spoke through the prophets, but now he has spoken through his Son, who is the exact representation of God's nature. You don't need any fuller revelations of God. Jesus Christ is the fullness of God's revelation to man. And then Jude, verse 3. Remember, the Baha'is teach that a fuller revelation has now come to man, fuller than the Christian gospel. What does Jude say in verse 3? Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you, to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. He talks about contending earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. In other words, if somebody's trying to add new teachings onto the Christian faith, reject it, because the faith was once for all delivered to the saints through Jesus Christ. And so Baha'ism teaches that it's the ultimate fulfillment of Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, Zoroastrianism, Hinduism, and Christianity. In actuality, Baha'ism contradicts Islam, it contradicts Christianity, and it contradicts Judaism. And then they want world peace without Christ. They want world peace without Christ. Well, Daniel chapter 9, I believe it's verse 26, somewhere between verse 24 and 27 teaches that even to the end there will be war. Even to the end there will be war. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 1 to 3 says that when everyone is saying peace and safety, then destruction will come. And Isaiah 9:6 refers to Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace. You see, mankind will find nothing but wars amidst himself. The problem isn't that we hate one another. The problem is that we hate God. And as long as man hates God, he will never be able to live in peace with his brother. And so we need to turn to the Prince of Peace, and he will bring us peace. How will he do it? He will do it by shepherding the nations with an iron rod, by carrying a bigger stick than anybody else has got, and then enforcing peace through his strength. Look at Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 16. The Prince of Peace returning to earth, Jesus Christ returning to earth, to bring peace on earth, and to shepherd the nations with an iron rod, and to rule the earth for 1,000 years. Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. And he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The obvious reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ to the planet Earth, but it says that he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. How will Jesus Christ bring peace to Earth? He will do it by his righteousness, judging and waging war, and shepherding the nations, and ruling the nations with an iron rod. And so this idea of world peace without Christ is anti-Christian. In actuality, this one world government that they want, in an attempt to get world peace, this all faiths lead to God, contradicts the Bible. They say all faiths lead to God. The Bible says no, only through Jesus is a person saved. John 14:6. This idea of world peace without the Prince of Peace is alien to the Scripture. The Scripture says when the prophets say peace, peace, there is no peace. And then this idea of a one world government to bring on peace Revelation chapter 13, verses 3 to 8, teaches us that this one world government will be headed by the Antichrist. He will force everyone to accept his mark, and you'll actually have more destruction than anything else, as mankind will kill himself worse than ever before. Eventually, we'll get this world government of peace, but that's after Jesus Christ returns. Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and the kingdoms of this earth became the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Until then, God wants man separated into different nations. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9, he separated the languages, he separated mankind. He does not want a one world government. When mankind is in rebellion against God and we unite, we just quicken the destruction of this planet. And so God wants mankind separated until Jesus Christ returns. The best possible government is not the government that we have today. The best in America, the best possible government is a one world government. The best possible government is a one world government ruled by a perfect king. And we'll get that when Jesus Christ returns. Until then, the best possible government that men can come up with is a government, separate nations, and a government with a separation of powers so that no man's, a system of checks and balances so that no man's sin nature dominates. You see, the best possible government is a one world government ruled with a perfect king. But the worst possible government is a one world government ruled by a demonic king. And that's what we're going to get under the Antichrist. And that's what the Baha'i faith is working towards. Though they think they're bringing on peace, they're bringing on war. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, when everyone is saying peace and safety, then destruction shall come. But that's Baha'ism. Baha'ism, the Baha'i faith. Now let's talk about Rosicrucianism. Rosicrucianism. Briefly discuss the history of Rosicrucianism and then some of their beliefs. The history of Rosicrucianism. Modern American Rosicrucianism was founded in 1915. Modern American Rosicrucianism was founded in 1915 by Dr. H. Spencer Lewis. Modern American Rosicrucianism was founded in 1915 by Dr. H. Spencer Lewis. Now, he claimed that its origins dated back to the ancient Egyptian mystery schools. Dr. Lewis claimed that its origins, the origins of Rosicrucianism, dated back to the ancient Egyptian mystery schools. Remember in fact, let me turn here. Exodus chapter 7, verses 10 to 12. Book of Exodus, chapter 7, verses 10 to 12. So Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh, and thus they did just as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron threw his staff down before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called for the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same with their secret arts. But each one threw down his staff, and they turned into serpents, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. So you see that God's miraculous works overpower the demonic realm, yet the magicians of Egypt, through their secret arts, had the ability. Through their occultic powers and secret arts, the magicians or sorcerers of Egypt had the ability to change rods into serpents. And so Dr. Lewis, who founded modern American Rosicrucianism in 1915, claimed that its origins dated back to the ancient Egyptian mystery schools and the ancient Egyptian occultic schools of their magicians. Still, the origin of most secret societies is difficult to find. Why? Because they're secret societies. You just can't trace back secret societies. Often, Rosicrucianism claims to be nothing more than a fraternal order. You know, they just say we're a bunch of brothers getting together and we just got our own little secret society, but there's nothing to be afraid of. Although denied, it is linked to Freemasonry, it's linked to the Masons, and to Spiritism. It's linked to the Freemasons and to Spiritism. Bob Larson states this in Larson's Book of the Cults: Rosicrucianism is a complex system of doctrines. It's a complex system of doctrines, rituals, and ceremonies laced with Judaic and Christian concepts. Bob Larson states Rosicrucianism is a complex system of doctrines, rituals, and ceremonies laced with Judaic and Christian concepts, based on pagan mythology and occult practices. They got everything mixed all together is what it amounts to. Now it flourished, Rosicrucianism flourished in Europe in the 17th and 18th centuries. Remember, we're talking now about European Rosicrucianism. It wasn't started in America until 1915. But Rosicrucianism flourished in Europe in the 17th and 18th centuries, and Freemasonry, the Masons, Freemasonry does include a Rosicrucian degree. They've got many different degrees in their secret orders, and it does include a Rosicrucian degree. Now, some claim that their order, the Rosicrucian order, first came to the U.S. in 1694. Under the leadership of Grand Master Kelpius. Very hard to document. But then they claim that the organization went underground. Being a secret society, it went underground for over 100 years. But that Dr. H. Spencer Lewis revived it in the U.S. in about 1915. Now, history links Dr. Lewis with the occult group named Order Templi Orientis. History links Lewis with an occult group titled Order Templi Orientis. Now, this group was linked with the famous British spiritualist, Aleister Crowley. Remember that name. Aleister Crowley. So history links Lewis with the occult group Order Templi Orientis and the famous British spiritualist Aleister Crowley. Now Crowley practiced homosexuality, murder, ritualistic murders, and black sex magic. It's black magic blended with sexual, ritual, immoral behavior. Now Crowley boasted that he had broken every moral law. He boasted that he broke all Ten Commandments. Crowley even renamed himself Beast 666. He wanted so desperately to be the Antichrist himself. Aleister Crowley, by the way, Jimmy Page, the lead guitarist for Led Zeppelin, bought Aleister Crowley's old mansion, because he was an admirer of the teachings of Aleister Crowley. But we see that Rosicrucianism is directly linked with Aleister Crowley and the horrible black magic and sexual rituals and ritual murders and the homosexuality that he practiced. Many countries refused to allow him to come into their countries. Lewis gladly accepted Crowley's endorsement from Order Templi Orientis. Lewis gladly accepted their endorsement. What are some of the beliefs of Rosicrucianism? What are some of the beliefs of Rosicrucianism? By the way, I had an ex-Rosicrucian who is now a believer. His name is Charles Lockhart. He told me that, I believe it's the 32nd order, 32nd degree within Rosicrucianism is the Luciferian order. The Luciferian order. And any order named after Lucifer is not going to be biblical. Their beliefs are as follows. They believe that Jesus is just a man and that Christ was the cosmic Christ that came upon him. So Jesus is just a man, and Christ, Jesus is not the Christ, the Christ came upon him. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 tells us that Jesus is the Christ, and that if you don't believe that, you can't be saved. Look at that, 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. So they say Jesus isn't Christ. Jesus is just a man. Christ was the cosmic Christ that came upon him. The Bible says, no, they're liars. They deny that Jesus is the Christ. And of course, Titus 2:13 says, the Apostle Paul refers to Jesus as our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14, Colossians 2:9, 2 Peter 1:1, the list goes on, all the passages that teach us that Jesus is not just a man, that Jesus is God himself. Now the Rosicrucians also teach that all people are pure. All people are pure. However, Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, the list goes on, teaches us that all men are sinners who fall short of the glory of God. There is none who is righteous. The Rosicrucians teach that Jesus does not save us from our sins. But 1 Peter 2:24, 1 Peter 3:18, and John 1:29 teach us that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that he is the one who died on the cross, bore our sins in his body on the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross for our sins. The Rosicrucians, you know, they claim not to be a religion, just to be a secret order of brethren, but they also teach reincarnation. But of course, as we mentioned before, Hebrews 9:27 teaches that it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes the judgment. So man isn't going to be reincarnated. And Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31 shows that you're not going to get a second chance. It's appointed for man to die once, and then comes the judgment. You're not going to get a second chance. Now, the Rosicrucians encourage their members, this is very important, they encourage their members to contact departed spirit masters. They encourage their members to contact departed spirit masters. However, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 to 12 forbids us to try to contact the spirit realm other than trying to contact God. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 to 12. Listen to what God says to the nation of Israel. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium. It's a go-between between the spiritual realm and the physical realm. The only go-between between God and man is Jesus Christ. Or a medium, or a spiritist, that's the one who tries to contact the spiritual realm, or one who calls up the dead. So it's very, very clear. Look at verse 12 too. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. The Rosicrucians encourage their members to contact the departed spirit masters from the spiritual realm. The Bible says you're forbidden from doing that. The dead departed people, people who died in the past, cannot come back. And so in actuality, demonic spirits, fallen angels, impersonate them and come back and deceive us and give us doctrines of demons. We find this today in Spiritism and channeling. But this is also found in Spiritism, in Rosicrucianism, because they encourage members to contact departed spirit masters. They also encourage members to be a medium, a go-between, that the spirits can speak through. In other words, what we today call channeling, they encourage their members to channel demon spirits through them. Demon possession is what occurs here. Channeling is nothing but a person being possessed by, if it's legitimate, it's a person being possessed by a demon and a demon speaking through them. Of course, you have some cases that are just fake. Now, they also teach that God is impersonal. God is impersonal. In fact, there are 42 principal gods. 42 principal gods. So they teach polytheism, many false gods, whereas Isaiah 43:10, God says, "Before me there was no God formed, nor will there be one after me." 1 Timothy 2:5 says there is only one God. And then they say that God is impersonal. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves us, and only a personal God can love us. An impersonal God who's in it is just a force. He can't love us. He can't have a personal relationship with us. But the Bible teaches that God is a personal God and that he is the only true God. And then finally, the Rosicrucians teach that they teach secret teachings that you need to be initiated into. But look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Talking about the Christian church, God's household, Paul says, "Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." Jude says in verse 3 of his writing, Jude 3, "Contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints." You see, there aren't secret teachings to the Christian faith. There are not secret teachings to the Christian faith. The New Testament is devoid of Jesus' secret teachings. When people look for Jesus' secret teachings, they fail to realize Jesus spoke publicly. His teachings are recorded by the apostles and the prophets in the Bible, and therefore we need not seek secret teachings, because the Bible contains the teachings of Christ. He did not speak secretly. And that is why Rosicrucianism is a false faith. Thank you, and God bless you.